Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net.
A few bitches on my line, cool. Yeah, I'm about to act a damn fool. Couple zannies in my system, got a couple girls kissing, keep winning, I can't lose. A few bitches on my line, cool. Yeah, I'm about to act a damn fool. Heart beating fast, how long will this last? Yeah, welcome to the wax room.
Yeah, man. It's the wax room, we back. We got a very special guest in the building tonight. Very, very special guest. Let me rephrase, man. We got the iconic, the Sneaker Don, God's favorite DJ, DJ Clark Kent. How you doing, man?
Blessed and highly favored.
Blessed and highly favored. There's no better answer than that. Also with me, man, we got DJ Mike Nasty and we got Dre.
What's happening?
Y'all already know what it is. HalseyPart.com. Shop merch, fine culture.
How does everybody already know what it is? Because we booming right now. And we about to be. And if you ain't heard of us, y'all going to hear of us soon.
Okay. That's a good question because everybody.
But think about it, though. Now, all of those things about you saying that if you don't know about it, you're going to know about it soon. And how did they already know?
You know
okay,
what?
I got you.
That's a good question.
You got me.
That's
okay.
A good question.
Got me,
right. Every time someone comes on, you know what it is. It's just such and such.
You know what? I feel like that's like the hood promoter's favorite line. Like, you already know what it is. It's going down tonight, man.
No,
well,
we don't
you can
know
only
what
already
is.
Know what it is if someone knows what it is.
Right, exactly.
Hey, that's true. But I come through with confidence. So I feel like everybody going to know me one day.
If you don't know, you're going to want to know.
If you don't know, you're going to want to know. But yeah, I feel, man, you on that.
I just want to say, man, thanks to DJ Clark Kent for coming through and fucking with us, man, at the Wax Room. This is very huge for me. I'm speaking for myself, man. This is like a dream come true. This is one of the reasons I moved up here, to be able to sit down and talk to OGs like yourself. So, well, it's really an honor to sit down.
It's also an honor to be for someone to actually want to have to say or ask questions of you, because that means you probably did something.
Yeah.
So I'm honored as well. So
100%, man. Well, let's jump right into it, man. I got a lot of questions. So, man, I just want to jump right into it, man. Let's start at the beginning, man. Mm-hmm. Take me back to Lincoln Terrace, man, in the 70s, the 80s.
Yeah. Lincoln Terrace Park was the park where all the hustlers and the pimps and the whores that were out there, you know, selling their bodies. Mm-hmm. That's where they sold it at. And it was, Crown Heights is a pretty, rough town. Mm-hmm. And, that was the park where all the rough things happened. But, it was also the park where the best park jams happened in Crown Heights. And, Grandmaster Flowers.
Yeah, man.
What exactly is a park jam?
A park? Wow.
Yeah, this is new age. This is new age. We don't know nothing about park jams.
It's when, you know, you bring out the set in the park and you DJ for hours, probably like 5-6 hours. And, people just come out to the park, hang out and dance.
Man.
It was like a club outside in a park.
Word.
Because, you know, most people didn't want to pay to go to the club or couldn't pay to go to the club.
Right.
Please understand, I'm from the hood.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like money was plentiful for you to just get money and go to Studio 54 or Lion's Den or anything like that back then. So DJs put their systems out in the park and just played till 1 a.m, 2 a.m, and people just jammed out in the park.
No notification or anything. They just went out there.
Word of mouth.
Nah, you just went out there. But the thing is, if you went out there, as soon as you turn it on, somebody knows that it's on because it's loud.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you got a good system, then it's that thing.
I feel that.
And the police let it rock. Like the police.
I mean, they did, but they didn't at the same time. But, you know, it had to get to a point where they came and told you to turn it off. Like somebody had to be complaining. And because we're talking about a time when money wasn't plentiful. So it was almost like a release to be able to have a park jam. No one was really complaining when the music was loud. So you really had to get complaints for the cops to come and go, you know, or shut it down. Or there had to be something crazy happen. Like there had to be a shooting or something.
Yeah.
And in that instance, the police isn't shutting it down. We're shutting it down. Like, okay, y'all want to be shooting? We want to go home.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It's ending at 1 or 2 o'clock. I know everybody's getting robbed.
Nah, not necessarily. I mean, if you from there, you're not getting robbed. Love, you know what I'm saying? You know you want to go to the park camp, so you're not necessarily trying to see people get robbed.
Right.
Otherwise, you're not having park jams.
Right. So when, at these park jams, when would you say you first hopped on the set and like, I'm about to spin the park jam?
I was at a DJ Flowers park jam at Lincoln Terrace, and he knew that I was the young boy DJ, like from two blocks away.
Right.
And I just stood next to the set all day, and it got a little dark, and he goes, "You're the guy from up on Union Street." I'm like, "Yeah." And I think he probably expected me to be shy and be scared. Yeah. But when he said, "You want to play a couple of records?" I was like, "Yes." Yeah. And then he says, "You know, there's some records. Look and see what you find." Right. And then I'm pulling out records, but I'm setting up enough records. Right. And he's like, "How the hell does he know the records?"
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So, this youngster knows shit.
Right. I was on it. Yeah, I was on my 1-2.
For sure, for sure. So, at this young age, I did a little bit of research, and I saw that you saw Rakim rap at 11?
Yeah.
At 11?
Yeah, like, I was young, I was playing jams. Yeah. So, there was a cat named Prince Charles. He had, like, a super ill system. He's from Queens, and he would go bring a set out at Wine Dance Day. And one Wine Dance Day, he had me playing out there with him. I might have been 13. And he had Rakim out there. Well, he didn't really have Rakim. Rakim was out there.
Yeah.
And he just jumped on the mic and he was on a crate. And
that always stuck with you. Like, I remember this little nigga from back in the day.
Yeah, but you know, you didn't know it was Rakim until later. And me and him are sitting down and we're talking about things. And he was like, "Yeah, man, back in the park jams at Wine Dance Day." I said, "I did Wine Dance Day." And he was like, "You ain't do Wine Dance Day." He's like, "I rapped at Wine Dance Day." And I was like, "When?" You know what I'm saying? And then once you start doing the 1-2, and he was like, "Yo, you the young boy that was DJing at there." I was like, "Yeah." And he was like, "Yo, look at that, how crazy it was." You know?
See, that's
but crazy. I was always like tall for my age. When I was 11, I was 6 foot.
Right.
So when I was 13, 12 and 13, like, I was already a 6 foot kid. Yeah. So I looked older than I
same
actually
thing with
was.
Me at like 12. I haven't grown since like 12 or 13. I've been
you
this
was
height,
tall.
I've been this height but like 12.
I looked a little older too. Yeah. Like, I could show you pictures of me when I was like 12 and you would have been like, "He's 16.
Right.
You know?
For sure. So
just now I look younger than I actually am, which is great.
Definitely. Most definitely.
Which is great.
100%. So you got your first DJ equipment by, let's just say, illegally. You say you illegally got your first DJ set?
I appropriated it.
Okay. Fair enough.
No, I appropriated it.
Fair enough.
Things were being appropriated from this place, and it was really dark. And I got my first turntables and mixer. The crazy part is getting it and then not having a receiver or amplifier or speakers.
Right.
So it just was there.
Just don't work. Yeah. You're just looking at it.
Yeah. But it,
basically.
It was crazy. but I had it.
But you had it.
Yeah. And,
you know? Hey, y'all got any questions, man? Because I can keep going.
Hey, go ahead. Look, I'm going to jump in. I'm going to jump in later on.
I got some.
All right. So I'm going to play a record, man. We're going to skip ahead a little bit in the life of DJ Clark Kent, man. And I'm going to play a record. I want to see what this record means to Clark Kent.
Ah.
Yeah, I know he probably recognizes it as soon as it comes on.
What does it mean? It means in life, everybody has these moments and they probably don't realize they have them, but there's a moment when things can change on a dime.
Switch.
You know what I'm saying? And a lot of people don't get to recognize the moment, so they miss what's happening.
Right.
When I made that remix, everything switched on a dime.
Damn.
And I noticed.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because in the music business, if you make one good record, record companies are going to try to get you to do another one.
Exactly.
So in that one shift, I was given the ability to remix like 25 records.
Damn.
So it changed the trajectory of my career like instantly. But the thing is that it was literally the first record that got credits on. So, I mean, if you can imagine, like, the first record that you get credit on is a number one record.
Smash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, It changed everything.
Damn.
So
what made you want to get into producing?
I believe, I could be wrong, but this is just my thoughts. A good DJ at some point is going to want to dictate what gets heard.
Yeah.
And then he's going to want to make what gets heard.
Right.
He should. I'm not saying it will happen for everybody because, you know, there's DJs out there who will never become producers. Mm. But like the DJ, if he's a good DJ, one, he picks records before the public and he dictates what the public is going to hear if he's good. And then he has to be able to let you know why it's going to work.
Mm-hmm.
If I can do all of those things, then I should be able to make some music. And then if I can make a good track, then maybe I can get a good artist to do something right. to a good track. But I started my really started production based off of doing remixes. So like that record was a remix, just that I took the original record apart and then added so much to it to make it sound like that. And then I put Tito from the Fearless Four on it, and it was so good that they used that version to make the video.
Right. Yeah, and it became the radio.
Yeah, version, it's the radio right? version. Yeah. Right.
So yeah, I've sat with DJ Mike Nasty plenty of nights while he's making remixes to songs and stuff. And I always think, man, one of these gonna hit one day. Just keep making right. them shits. They gonna hit. One's gonna hit, and like he said, all it takes is one, and then they gonna come knocking for sure. I'm gonna play another record and see if this record means anything to you.
That record actually means a lot to me because Ski is really my friend.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? And he was my friend before I signed him.
Right.
But I met him when I was on tour with Danny Dane down in North Carolina. And they performed at one of our shows. And he was in a group called the Busy Boys. And I was like, yo, that record, send me that record. And it was a record called Dropping It that a guy named Fanatic and D... His DJ was D, and Fanatic was the producer in the group. Fanatic went on to become a very popular producer as well.
Boy.
And I was like, yo, I need that record. So he gives me the record. I go back. I'm playing it in New York, and I kept in touch with him. I said, if you ever come to New York, I'm going to give you a record deal.
Damn.
I don't know why I was telling him that because I actually, at that point, didn't have a job.
Yeah.
I was like, man, I'm going to help you get a record deal.
You felt it.
But then when I was sitting behind the desk, I was like, yo, if you come to New York, and then he comes to New York.
Yeah.
So I did what I said I was going
to
do.
And then he comes to New York with Dame, right?
But Dame, that's a different story. But when he came to New York and he was with Dame, I was like, how'd you get Ski?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And he was like, you know him? I was like, what? That's Ski from the Busy Boys. I was playing this record on the radio for damn near 7 months. What are you talking about? That's my man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I told Ski if he come to New York, I'm a record deal. Well, Ski's here. Give him a record deal.
Let's give him a record
Ski
deal.
Gets a record deal.
Is this the first song you heard Jay-Z on Wax? Or was he?
That?
Yeah, the Can I
Open? I put him on that song. Jay-Z first on Wax might have been one of Jazzo's records.
Uh-huh.
And then he was also on Big Daddy Kane album.
Okay, right.
When he said, I'm a cocky breed, dope like poppy seed, live on one rich bitch plaza between Get Off My Dick and Stop Jocking Me. Like,
on another
he
level.
He said that, like, so when I hear dudes rapping, I'm just like, did you not hear what I said? And that was before you heard of Jay-Z?
Yeah.
Like, way before? Like,
yeah. I was listening to Drink Champs earlier, the Big Daddy Kane, that just came out, I think, yesterday. And he was saying he met Jay-Z in 88.
Right.
And he said that Jazzo was, like, the biggest thing in Brooklyn at the time.
He was.
Even over Kane.
Yes.
So it was
Jazz. Okay. When you say biggest thing in Brooklyn, I'm not going to say he was bigger than Kane, but his pen was the wildest thing we ever heard was Jazzo. And the thing is, like, Jay was his man.
Yeah.
So, like, if you looked from the outside, you'd go, yeah, but Jazzo's better.
Yeah.
Right.
Writing it.
Mm-hmm.
Jay wrote rhymes that were that good, but then he just said it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And
Kane was just like, he knew Jazzo was a beast, but he was like, there's just something different about this other guy.
I've said that a million times. Yeah. Like, I met Jazzo introduced me to Jay, and I'm telling you, he's a teenager, like early teens. And when I heard him, I was like, yeah, your man's nasty. But I was in my mind, I'm going, he's the guy.
Yeah.
And I know that Jazzo's like the nicest. Like Jazzo's the nicest. Like he's still, if you ask me, I would tell you, if you gave him a pen, he's going to write one of the best rhymes you ever heard all the time.
Damn.
His pen is like nitroglycerin. So
that's ill.
So to be standing with this guy, that's my man that I'm going. He's the nicest, but your man is special.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I'm looking at this kid going, now he's amazing. Like, it's something else about Jay. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, his pen was vicious, but Jazzo's was a little more vicious.
Yeah.
It's just that it was a little something extra about him. It was, he was like a total package at 16.
That's crazy. He's like, you don't really hear that a lot. You don't really hear that at all, really. Total package.
He had it. He had it. It just, he just had to make some records.
Yeah, he's just like, every time I hear someone talking about Jay, like in the early days, they always say like it was just something about him.
But that's the truth to say about anybody who's special. Like, look at Big, look at Rakim. It's something about Rakim. It was something about Biggie. It was something about, you name it. If they was nice, it was something about, like, look at Kane, like.
Yeah.
Girls used to throw their panties on stage with Kane. There's something special about him.
If you're in a spread, if you got a spread with Naomi Campbell and Madonna, naked, like,
you that dude.
You're the GOAT, my nigga. I don't care what nobody says. Like,
I mean, that's a way to look at it. You know what I'm saying? But GOAT. Like, it was something special about Kane. It was something special about G-Rap. Looks, Rakim, God.
Yeah.
Like,
man.
Rakim? Rakim.
So did you feel that
way?
I
don't think Rakim's ever set a whack round. Like, ever.
Ever.
He never took bars off.
That's crazy. That's so crazy. Like, so did you feel that way about Nas when you first him on, heard him on the barbecue?
Absolutely.
Felt the same way?
But, you know, like, I tried to sign Nas before anybody else.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I did. I tried to sign him. He didn't have a demo.
Yeah.
And Akinelli, I was signing Akinelli.
Right.
And he brought Nas because I was like, yo, bring Nas. He brings Nas. There's no demo.
That's crazy.
I'm like, dude. And I say it to him. I was like, yo, I can't sign you without a demo. Give me some music. I will get you signed. And, you know, like, we had just signed Dos Effects, but they had a whole album done when Parrish Smith brought them.
Right.
So I was like, yo, you bring me some music, you're going to get a deal. Like, Akinelli, I was signing him. He had a full album done.
Finished.
Yeah. Like, his album was finished. And I was just like, yeah, we're going to sign you. Akin's my man. I'm going to sign him.
Is that Vagina Diner?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which was dope.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But then, you know, we got into a bidding war and we lost the Interscope. But in the interim, I'm saying, yo, I know you signed the Interscope, but please bring your man here. Yeah. He brings him and it's no music. So I was kind of, I couldn't do nothing with it. So, you know.
So being at Atlantic, how does that even happen? Like, how does Interscope, like, what? Come and intercept that when you're at Atlantic, which is the parent company?
Well, it doesn't matter if there's an A&R there that wants to sign them. Yeah. It can go any way. Like, it could, I could have lost it to Elektra. I could have lost it to any group that's within any label that would have been within the Atlantic Records group. It doesn't matter if there's an A&R there that wants it.
Yeah.
He's going to fight, you know.
Yo, that's an interesting point that you brought up about him not having a demo. Because nowadays, we're in a time where you can actually get a deal without music.
Off one song.
So.
Yeah, but your deal's not that good.
Yeah. Exactly. What did, how many songs did a demo need to have for somebody to really interest in
the song? Let's say you make a, the thing is, the reason why you wanted your demo to have a certain amount of songs is so that the person listening to it could go, oh, he can make songs. Yeah, not, right. You can make a song. You want to be able to see that there's potential there. That if you're spending your money, you might get some back.
Right. And that's the problem in the record game, in the music game right now.
Well, it's actually not a problem because now they're just giving bad single deals.
Yeah. Right.
So, hey, if this record works, I give you some more singles. You know what I'm saying? Like, and then you have to go out there and do like acrobatics to make it right.
To make it work.
But, you know, it's so many different avenues and ways to make finance making records now
We was just talking about that the other day, just how many one hit wonders come in and out of the game now.
The question is, do you consider it a one hit wonder because one record was just a smash and then the other was okay?
That's a good question, because, like,
you know why? Because think about it like this, like, say you are an artist and your first record comes out, you sell, let's say the number's 5 million copies, right? Mm-hmm. And then the next album, next record comes out and you only sell 900,000. Now, you're going to say that was a flop, so he was a one-hit wonder. Mm-hmm. What if I consistently, 3 times I came in and I gave you 300,000 records on a single, and all of a sudden I gave you 5 million?
Right.
Am I still a one-hit wonder?
Not at all.
Why not? That's that one song that went crazy.
You got a little bit of a catalog at that point.
Catalog. I can give you catalog after I give you a 5 million selling single, too.
I think that's what I tried to tell people about Young and May, because they tried to say she was a one-hit wonder. But I feel like when your first record is so big that people automatically think that their second record has to follow up and be just as big. But that Walk record she has is a great record.
Cool. But think about this. How many people match the intensity of their best shit?
It's hard.
Jay-Z's best album is Reasonable Doubt.
Facts. Mm-hmm.
But their other albums sold more.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then everybody who listens goes, yeah, Reasonable Doubt's the best. Okay. It didn't do the numbers that the others did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I want to kind of build on that. I'm only 24, so I was too young to know when Reasonable Doubt came out, how mm-hmm. it really like impacted. But just doing a little research, I saw that a lot of people said like it didn't really hit until like a couple years later. Like,
It wasn't a couple years. It was as soon as people could actually know that what he was saying was the truth.
Yeah.
So, you know, the record comes out. We're having nominal success because the record's doing what it's supposed to do and there's some units being sold. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, people started to actually see that what he was saying matched what you saw when you saw him.
Right.
So then things started to shift and then record companies were going, wait, that ain't no nigga record. It's crazy.
Crazy.
One Hit Wonder?
I didn't know there was jazz on the hook singing that.
Yeah.
I did not know that. I would have never known that. That Jazzo was actually singing on that hook.
Jazzo is one of the most talented dudes around. He's a dope producer. Uh-huh. He's a great singer. An unbelievable writer.
Well, why do you think he never really took that step into the mainstream as talented as he is?
Talent doesn't mean that you're going to make a hit record.
For sure.
Because there's plenty of writers. Like, you'll read writer's credit and go, who the hell is this person? Mm-hmm. And they'll have tons of records that they wrote that are amazing. And you'll go, well, why didn't you David Foster? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's a bunch of writers that you'll go, well, why didn't you do it for yourself?
Right.
It just sometimes it doesn't work out that way. Maybe your talent is to write for someone else. Mm-hmm. Maybe your talent is to produce for somebody else. Maybe your talent is to help structure songs for someone else. But maybe it's just not for you to actually make the records yourself.
For sure. Because like a lot of people, like they can write records, but they can't like sing a record. They can't actually rap a record. Right. So that makes a lot of sense.
Right.
That's why James Fauntleroy is such a great writer. You know? Right.
James Fauntleroy is dope, man. So let's talk about Reasonable Doubt for a second. Biggie and Jay, mm-hmm. you put them together. Mm-hmm. And like, did you know that it was going to be like
absolutely
something like special absolutely. Out of this world?
Absolutely.
Okay.
No question.
For sure.
Yeah.
So like even
I'll put the best MC next to the best rapper.
Right. Which what
do you mean by that? Best MC.
I mean
best
exactly
rapper.
What I said.
So where do you draw the line? That is the difference between an MC and a rapper?
Well, a rapper. Tupac.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Has Tupac ever said a rhyme to you that was amazing?
No.
Or did he just say his rhymes amazingly?
Did we not have this conversation
just
a few
did.
Weeks ago?
Yeah.
I totally agree.
He's an amazing rapper. He raps amazingly. Mm-hmm. MCs, that's that pen flying, going crazy. It just so happens that Biggie is definitely one of the best MCs around. He just was the best rapper ever.
Right.
And Jay-Z is the best MC, who is the second best rapper ever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Biggie's flow is unmatched.
Like, think about this. If somebody says to me top 10 MCs, Pac is nowhere in the list. But if you say top 10 rappers, he's definitely in the list.
Right.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, can I ask you, have you ever seen a hybrid of the two in an artist?
Yeah, Biggie.
Biggie.
Hove.
Hove.
Yeah.
Biggie, Hove, Eminem.
Who would you say nowadays in this new generation of rappers you would say could be possibly a hybrid of rapper and great MC?
Fab.
Yeah. Fab's amazing.
Yeah.
Fab's fucking amazing. Mm.
Longevity, like his longevity is almost unmatched.
We're not even talking about that. We're talking about Fab always sounds good on records.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like always. And then he always says dope rhymes.
Right.
For sure. Mm-hmm. Always.
He doesn't take no bars off. You know what I'm saying? Like he's, yeah.
And so, I guess that's my point between what I'm calling a one hit wonder and someone who stays in the game for a long time is that he's consistent with good music. Right. And where like I've seen people come in, they have one good song, but then they're not consistent. Like, right. The music's just terrible after that. Uh-huh. So I guess that was more the point I was thinking of one hit wonder in that kind of thinking pattern.
Mm-hmm. I understand what you're thinking.
Yeah.
But
would you say Ross is possibly
a great rapper.
Hybrid.
He's a great rapper.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. He sounds amazing saying his raps.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's not like his rhymes are just like mind blowing, mm-hmm. but when he rhymes, he just sounds like fucking, he sounds epic when he rhymes.
I kind of like his vocabulary. I like Ross's wordplay.
Jeezy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jeezy.
Man, Jeezy.
He sounds great rapping.
Uh-huh.
To me, Jeezy basically is Tupac.
Right. So would you say
he says good rhymes amazingly.
Mm-hmm.
He just sounds great rapping.
Right.
And you believe everything he says. People believe Pac and he wasn't telling the truth.
Right.
But they believed everything he said. Mm-hmm. People believe Ross.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
You walk away believing everything somebody says, right. even though you know it's not true, you're a great rapper.
Mm-hmm. So that voice on the beat is important.
Yeah, everything is important to the rapper.
Right.
To the MC, it's them bars.
Right.
The boy to you got bars.
Man.
Pusha T.
Bars. Mm-hmm.
Bars.
Right.
I mean, like super bars. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm
super
saying?
Bars.
Yes.
Super bars.
Yeah.
Back to Ross. I feel like Ross is one of the best beat pickers I've ever heard. Like, he picks amazing beats.
He's a great music maker.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, so like when he looks at a track, he doesn't look at it like it's a beat. He looks like it's part of the song. And once you look at things like that, mm-hmm. you're going to end up being able to think your voice all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
And you worked on Teflon Don, correct?
Yeah, I don't know. Is that the album? Yeah, I think
Super High.
Super High. Yeah.
Y'all know the song.
Yeah.
Y'all know how I feel about Teflon Don.
Teflon, oh yeah. That's like one of his favorite albums of all time.
Yeah. Cause I mean, like, to me, the casual music fan has Ross very underrated in their mind. Just having conversation with people.
What does underrated mean? I don't get it.
Like when I always talk about Ross, I hold him up there in standard. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Standard of what?
In terms of like
rappers.
In terms of rappers.
Right.
Like I always say Ross is one of the best that we got right now.
Rappers.
And yes, and then a lot of casual fans are like,
That's because they're equating the bars. Mm-hmm. They're equating the MC part to the rapper part.
Mm-hmm.
And if they were able to differentiate the two, but because they usually can't, they don't see the difference. They think they're the same. It's just not the same. Yeah, so if you think it's the same, then you're not going to equate Ross. But if you can separate it, then you're going to go, oh, nah, Ross is serious.
Yeah, it's two different questions. Like, you can't even really compare. That's why I was like, Pac is amazing, but you can't put him in the same class.
Nah, he's not. Biggie, he's not in the same class as Biggie, Hov, Nas. Not.
Right.
You hear the shit Nas be saying, dog?
It's crazy. My head's spinning. Like, when I listen to Nas, man, like, makes my head spin. Like,
Nas is...
He's amazing.
How do you feel about, like, the Drake, Kendricks, and J. Cole's? Are you big
I like Drake. I like Drake a lot. I think he says some shit.
Mm.
Yeah. But then he also says his shit amazing. He's an amazing rapper.
Right.
Mm. I think Kendrick is a great rapper.
How about MC though?
You don't think Kendrick has the pen?
No, I think he has a good pen for sure. Mm. He has a good pen.
Drake is one of those people.
Wait, what are you trying to get me to say? If he has a great pen?
No. I was saying would you align him with like that hybrid, what I was saying about
I mean see, to me, when you as hybrid, you're trying to get the best of
the MCs mm-hmm. and connect them to the rapper part.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
so if I'm looking at it that way, I think he's a dope. He's a great rapper.
Right.
Okay.
That makes sense.
I guess I could put Cole and then that great rapper. Yeah.
See, nah, but Cole got
Cole's
bars. Cole's more of an MC than he is of a rapper.
Okay. I think I know where you're coming from now. Right. I'm following. It's the bars. It's the
bars.
Like baby. Joe Budden
is an MC. He's an bars. MC. Royce the 5'9".
Like, stupid bars.
Right.
That's an MC.
Nobody's really messing with Royce's pen. Like, it's not too many people that's really going to come
dog,
close.
Nah, dog, you bugging me.
I think Royce is amazing.
Tariq, like, man. What are you Royce talking about? Amazing. Tariq Trotter. Tariq Trotter, B.
Right.
Tariq Trotter. Common.
Common is amazing.
What are you talking about?
I love
Big Sean.
You think Big Sean's better than?
I didn't say he's better than. What I'm saying is, these are guys whose pens go that way.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
You know what I'm saying? So
that's the first time I've heard that.
So I feel like
Big Sean.
See, yeah. I thought you would probably see Big Sean as more of a rapper than
he is a great rapper, but his pen is stupid.
When he wants to go, he goes.
But you have to understand, people don't listen to Sean that way. They listen to him like a rapper.
Right.
If you stop for a second and listen to it, bar for bar for bar. That boy is wild.
Right.
Like wild.
Yeah. Like Higher on Detroit, when he came out with the Detroit mixtape and came out with Higher, I was like, that is the bars.
You're not that listening, B. He's had bars from the beginning. He say wild earlier, shit.
Ye didn't grab him up for no reason.
But I mean, earlier, but I feel like now I'm not hearing the bars that I used to hear from Big Sean.
Facts. I mean, you're not listening. Industry changed.
I don't know, man.
I need to go back and listen.
Sean rap, yo.
Sean can rap, man. You know I like Sean, man. He can rap. I like Sean for a while, man.
He can rap.
You a Davies fan?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Great rapper.
I was listening to something. I can't remember where it was. You was on some interview. You said Davies. You was in the studio with Davies one night, and he inspired you to pull out the machine.
He did. I made a joint for him. It's funny because I made it for him. We talked about it, and I'm waiting for him to say, "Okay, I'm working on an album, so I can go." Here you go.
Yeah, give it to him.
You got
to
press the button
because that mixtape
has to
shit.
Be on an album.
Yeah, that mixtape shit for producers is like a black hole. I feel like.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not if you don't have nothing.
Yeah, right. That's true.
And then all of a sudden, you made the best song on a mixtape. Then all of a sudden, everybody knows who you are, or they're asking, who did that?
Yeah.
Then you know what I'm saying?
Like you said, it only takes one. Then everybody come knocking. Right.
But see, I try to put soul into the music. Mm-hmm. I try to give it a heartbeat.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of just giving it kicks and snares, I try to make, like, when you hear it, you go, nah, I gotta say something else to this. I gotta talk on this. You know what I'm saying? So mm-hmm. Even an explanation, when I was talking to him about it, I was like, you're gonna have to dig. It's not gonna be, this ain't a surface record. They gotta walk away with a part of your soul.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And he was like, okay, then, let's take our time with it because I don't just want to throw it on him. Nah, it can't.
Mm.
Plus, I've worked hard enough to not be on mixtapes.
Right. Oh, most definitely. on the last episode, I made a comparison between Dave East and Fab. I think Dave East can be there. Do you think that he has that kind
Dave
of talent?
Dave doesn't have the same kind of bars, but he says rhymes really well.
Mm, right.
His cadences, his flows are good, really good.
Mm-hmm.
Fab, though, like I don't even know if it's fair for most. Like, think about, have you ever heard Fab on a record and somebody beat him?
Not really.
No. It doesn't happen.
No.
It just doesn't happen. Like, you can't beat him on a record. Yes. You can come close. You could be bar for bar with him, but you mm-hmm. can't beat Fab on a record.
So how you feel about the record? What was it? The 6 Minutes of Death? I think it was like him, Cassidy. Was it Lil Wayne?
When they just snapping?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't remember it. I know that Fab and Jadakiss, the Freddy vs. Jason that mm-hmm. just came out. I mean, I feel like they're going bar for bar.
Yeah.
I feel like they're definitely going bar
for
bar.
They definitely are.
Mm-hmm. But I feel like Jadakiss is just amazing.
Jadakiss is a super MC.
Super mm-hmm. MC. He doesn't really like Kiss like that.
He probably can't
but he's disrespectful.
That's not what I said.
Well, with all due respect.
That's not what I said. What I said was, I like Jadakiss as a rapper, and his bars are there.
You like him as a rapper or MC?
His,
right.
okay, as an MC.
Right. Oh, okay.
So he does like Jadakiss.
Yeah. But
he does like Jadakiss.
I'm not a big fan. I'm not a big fan of the way he sounds on a track. Hold on, his hold on. Voice.
Do you like Jadakiss as an MC? Hell, loves, you heard that? Hell yeah.
She loves Jadakiss.
She said hell yeah as an MC. You know why? Because she's listening to the bars.
Right.
It's bars.
He's amazing.
I guess I gotta get
I guess
past
this conversation is about bars. If we talking yeah. about bars, be careful, B. I listen.
Right.
All right. So
it's the voice. It's the voice. Like
his voice is dope.
It's different. It's different. And it's something that I have to get used to being from the South and just growing up with like a certain style.
Come on, man. Scarface.
Yeah.
Scarface.
Ghetto boy.
Scarface. Nah. Scarface, B. Scarface.
You right. You right. Right.
Scarface, the way he said his rhymes made his rhymes 10 times better
right.
than they were.
Right.
And he said great rhymes, but they were 10 times better straight off of cadence
right.
and flow and right. tonage.
Now that we're on the South, I want to ask you, how do you feel about the current state of music and how Atlanta is pushing the culture? Like, are you a big fan of...
Is Atlanta pushing the culture?
All right, I'll say the younger.
Is Atlanta pushing the music or is Atlanta pushing the culture?
I think Atlanta's pushing the music.
It's a culture behind it.
I feel like the culture's coming from everywhere, but I feel like Atlanta's pushing the music.
I spent the last 3 years living in Atlanta.
Listen,
and it's
a type of music can't push a culture. Let's right. get that clear right okay. now.
Right.
A culture is a way of life. A type of music can't push the way of life.
Mm-hmm.
All right? The music lives within the culture. It's a different style, a different tone, sure. a different way. I mean, there's some cats there making some good records, but how long are they lasting?
Are you a fan of any of the like the sure. Migos, you know, the Future?
I love the Migos.
Me too.
I fuck with Young Thug.
Right.
Young Thug has the potential to be something different.
Young Thug's there.
Listen to Young Thug on that Drake record.
Sacrifices. Favorite track
listen,
on More Life.
If you can listen to that and understand that that's Young Thug, just know it can happen at any time.
Yeah.
When he snapped.
When I first heard it, I was like, wow.
On Trap with Ross.
Oh.
He snapped.
Right.
But I mean, but if you ask me about a dude who always says dope rhymes, like relentlessly always, Wale.
I think Wale's amazing.
Wale says
me too.
Super dope rhymes all the time.
His wordplay is phenomenal.
All the time. Like there's no bars off with him.
Right.
He's one even of the,
when
the
you,
better rappers.
Even when you think he's taking bars off, when you listen to it again, you got to be like, he didn't take that bar off.
Right. Mm.
How do you feel about Gucci's like longevity with everything?
I think Gucci is a thing.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Gucci's like a people's champ. They're not looking at him for what he's saying. They looking for everything at the same time.
That makes sense.
He's like, I'm telling you, he's not like a rapper. He's a thing.
Mm.
You know what
so
I'm saying?
So his brand speaks volumes. And I feel like him getting out of jail kind of helped it.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, his rebrand.
I don't know if getting out of jail did anything. He just had some records.
Right.
Yo, listen, you can't make it in music just because you popping.
For sure.
Or you famous. Or you hot in the street. You got to make a record.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't care what nobody say. You gotta make a record.
I feel like a lot of these labels are signing like internet sensations and stuff because they're popular, like Catch Me Outside and stuff like that.
But speaking of internet sensations, how do you feel about the that guy in New York 6ix9ine with the you heard?
He has a hot record. He has a hot record.
Hot record.
But you don't rock.
He gotta come with more than one hot record.
That's true.
I mean, who knows what's gonna happen in 2 months? It may be quiet for 6ix9ine. He may come with another banger. I mean, who knows? It's early.
You never know.
You never really know.
Never know. Hip-hop. Nobody thought Cardi would have another one.
She got to know.
Cardi's everywhere, baby.
She's everywhere.
Nobody thought Future would have another one. Future had tons.
He's been here for a while.
Tons of hits.
Right, but when he made Tony Montana.
Yeah.
Nobody
you were like, that's it for this guy.
Yeah, but then. Then that shit started rolling.
Man.
But last week, we talked about Future, and I said Future's one of those people that got better at his craft over time.
See, that's people who don't know what Future comes from. He's from the Dungeon family. Yeah. All of them people in that Dungeon family are talented, creative artists. As soon as I knew he was from Dungeon family, I knew he'd be fine.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Let me play one more record. I'm gonna play another record. And, I want to know what it means to you, Clark. Let me play this.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
How's everybody doing tonight? Would you say this is your favorite record that you ever made?
I like this young man because when he came out with the phrase.
This is the favorite song I ever made. Okay. Favorite record I ever made was Brooklyn's Finest.
Okay.
Because I got to put my two favorites together.
Right.
So, but sky's the limit.
That's my favorite.
Biggie himself said it's his favorite record. So wow. The thing is, like, when you're doing it and you're making it and he says it, you're just like, all right, whatever. You keep it moving. But then as time goes by and you have to remember he said those words. Like, he's Biggie.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like, he was my friend first, and then artist second. So sometimes it's hard to separate the fact that that's your man. You know, he's been my man. He's just my man. And then your man says, this is his favorite record, right, whatever. Until you start to look from the outside and go, but he's fucking Biggie, yo. Like, he's like the greatest rapper of all time.
Right.
It's Biggie.
Yeah.
And he was my man. And he said the record I made was his favorite record. It's crazy. Like, whoa. It takes
on a relax.
Yeah, but then it meant nothing.
Right.
It's now when you look back and go, well, fuck.
Right.
Thanks. You know what I'm saying? Like,
it's amazing. That's amazing.
You know what I'm saying?
When you're making a track like that, are you thinking about the artist that you want to put on there?
That record was for Akinelli.
Yeah, that was my next question.
No.
Yeah.
It actually wasn't for Akinelli. It was for Jay. Every beat I made at that time was for Jay first.
So that
Jay
was for Jay? That was for Hov?
It was for Hov. No. Understand what I'm telling you. Every single beat I made at that time was for Hov.
Right.
That's because he was my artist. So it's like, I want to make everything has to go through him first. He don't want it, then everybody else can hear it.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't want it. And then I put it on a tape, and it's crazy because the on that tape was Player's Anthem.
Wow.
And I gave the tape to LL Cool J.
And L passed on Player's Anthem?
Anyway. But the crazy part is Akinelli heard it and he was like, I want that.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, cool. And then when it came to, yo, this is how much it's gonna cost, I was like, nah, Clark, come on, you my man. And then
the homie price. You want the homie price.
And then, you know, right behind that, after him saying, nah, Big heard it, and he was like, yo, you gotta hold that. But I'm just like, hold it. We're doing Junior Mafia's album. What are we gonna do?
Mm-hmm.
He was like, nah, but you gotta hold that one, put it to the side, and don't do nothing with it. I mean, as a producer, selling tracks is what you did to eat.
Right.
But he said, I want that one. And I'm going, dog, you're not working on an album. You can't have it. He goes, Clark, I need you to put that one to the side.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And the way he said it, I was just like, all right. And then he heard Player's Anthem and started mumbling the hook and was like, let's go home. And we was on the tour. So he was like, let's go home.
Damn.
We got a couple of days. Let's go home. We went home. We were at home for like 5 days and did the record. And it was on. It was on in a club like that same Friday night.
You premiered it in a tone, right?
I didn't premiere it. We gave it to Funkmaster Flex, and he was like, yeah, nah, I'm not going to play it right now. And then I gave it. I mean, at the same night, Cap was there, so we gave it to him, too. It was two acetates. And he got one, and Cap got one. And Cap, he just went right to it. And the crowd just was like, what the fuck? And... and we, it was me, Big, on Kim, C's. Or we were just in the club. No, C's wasn't in the club. And Kim wasn't in the club. We had just left them because we had took it to Master or whatever. And then we're in the club and the shit just keeps playing and keeps playing.
It keeps spinning.
Playing.
It, yeah.
He keeps playing it. And L walks in.
Oh shit!
And I bet he was like, man. "He's like,
no." That's the funny part. He's like, "Yo, what the fuck is this?" I was like, "It's this joint I did for Junior Mafia, Big's new group." We're talking in the club, and he goes, "Yo, I need a joint like that." And I was like, dog, I was like, you had it first. Like, you had it.
Right.
And he's like, what do you mean I had that stuff? So remember the silver tape? He was like, yeah. I said, dog, that's like the first beat on the tape. Oh. Because Jay had passed on it.
Right.
Sauce Money had passed on it.
Damn.
So after that, that's when everybody else could hear. Right. You know what I'm saying? And then, you know.
What about when Puff heard it? Like, did Puff give any kind of approvals on songs with D.I.G. point, or no. Did he get feedback? Like, how did that work?
I was Big's DJ. So right. If I gave Big something he wanted it, he was going to do it. Now, the thing is that, like, who's a good music person is going to hear that beat and go, nah.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not right. saying it was just a perfect beat, but mm. it just had He's talking about you talking about Sky's the Limit.
I'm talking about Sky's the Limit.
Oh, okay, yeah, I'm still on Player's Anthem.
Well, yeah, Player's Anthem was nuts.
As soon as you hear that, I didn't even understand anybody
passing on it.
That's one of them. Like you put your drink down, start looking around and shit. It's like okay.
Yeah, but as soon as you hear Sky's the Limit, like if you're a good music man, you're gonna mm-hmm. hear it and go, yeah, that's a great record. But if you know that Biggie's about to get it. Like it's something else because yeah, right. you have to remember we already had been through Ready to Die.
True.
So we know what he can do to records. Right. And I'm telling you, when he first heard it, we're in the tour bus and shit comes on and he's going, the fuck did you get that from? Like, what made you go to that immediately?
Oh, so and see, he came
he
up
was
with the
humming
chorus.
The hook immediately.
He came up with the hook.
On the record. That's I mean, crazy. You're not gonna know because you know you can't differentiate Slim and 112 from yeah. Biggie, but he's singing in the hook
uh-huh.
because
oh, so
he sang
okay.
the hook so they could know what it was. But I left his voice. In
did
it.
He pick 112 to do?
He 112 was signed.
Yeah, it was Bad Boy.
So it was
what
automatic.
What picking is that? Yeah,
like, yeah.
Right. I mean, but did he pick wrong?
No,
he of didn't. Course he, not. Of course not.
I can't imagine that song any other way.
Well.
That song is literally, it's my favorite Biggie song, like, by far. Like, it's so much soul.
A lot of people say
that
because you walk away with a soul of Biggie. I mean,
yeah.
Come on, look at what he was saying on it. Like, there's no other records where he's really, like, giving a part of him personally.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
He said, put money in my mom's hand. Got my daughter this college plan so she don't need no man.
Right.
I was
live
like,
far
damn.
From timid. Only make moves when your heart's in it.
Mm.
Little phrase.
Sky's the limit.
Motherfucker.
Motherfucker. Mm-hmm.
Mm. See y'all chumps on top. Bitch.
It's like, damn, like, if you don't feel that, man, you just need to turn your iPhone off and throw it out the
he
window.
He said,
right?
a nigga never been as broke as me.
I like that.
I like that.
When I was young, I had two pair of leads. Besides that.
That's crazy.
The pinstripes with the gray. The ones I wore on Mondays and Wednesdays, the niggas flirt. I'm sewing tigers on my shirt and alligators. You want to see the inside?
I'll see you later.
Here comes the drama. Oh, that's the nigga with the fake. Pow! Why you punch me in the face? That's
stand
him knocking somebody out who says some shit about his fake
that's
shirt.
That's a storyteller
that's
right there.
That's crazy, man.
Like I said,
you can
you don't
vividly
feel that record.
See the song.
Right.
Like I said, if I you mean, don't feel that record, throw your iPhone out the window
yeah.
and run it over.
I mean, I feel like with a lot
said,
of big tracks.
He said it was wearing Oshkosh overalls and Buttercrunch cookies. Like Buttercrunch, if you're in Brooklyn, you know what Buttercrunch is.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, so you could see the whole thing.
Like, how do you not feel that?
Right? Are you around Brooklyn nowadays?
I've been living in Brooklyn for my whole life.
Right.
Practically. So, right. I just... Like literally just bought a new house on New Year's Eve.
Word.
That's congrats on
congrats.
That. Congrats
thanks.
On that for sure.
You know, cause all of us from Tennessee, we moved to Brooklyn for a reason.
Bushwick to be exact.
You know what I'm saying? And a lot of people tell me about like the change between how Brooklyn is now versus how it was in the past. Is it kind of overwhelming how different it is?
It's different.
Right.
I mean, but as time goes on, everything gets different.
Yeah, right.
You know
sure.
what I'm saying? Atlanta's different.
Right.
100%.
LA is different.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Everything as time goes on gets different. And that's because of the things that changed in life. Like cell phones got better. Mm-hmm. So, of course, things are going to get different.
Mm-hmm.
Cell phones got cheaper. So, of course, things are going to get different. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about it. Like I come from the hood where if you had a cell phone, you were hustling.
100%. Now, there's 4-year olds walking around with cell phones. They're not, and no one's trying to steal them from them. So things are different. You know what I'm saying? Access to things is really different now. So of course the world's going to get different. So Brooklyn's going to be different. Like, you couldn't have a computer out in Albee Square, downtown Brooklyn. Somebody was going to take it, but now everybody has a computer. Yeah. What's the point?
Right. True.
You know what I'm saying? You couldn't have a $5,000 computer just sitting next to you on a bench. You would have got taken. Mm-hmm. But everybody has a dope camera. So it's like, what's the point?
Right.
Are you spinning in any spots coming up, like in BK or anywhere in the city?
It's funny because I don't play in Brooklyn a lot because it's not like there's a lot of like regular clubs or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I do a monthly party in New York called The Originals with four of my friends, DJ D Nice. So you heard of D Nice, Stretch Armstrong, Tony Touch, and Rich Medina.
Stretch is a legend.
And we do these parties called The Originals so we can have fun.
It sounds like
I like that.
And it's the best monthly party in New York, period.
Like, no feelings
to anybody else, no diss to anybody else who's doing what they're doing, but there is no monthly party that happens in New York that's better than The Originals. Not one.
When's the next one? Because we got to go check that out.
The 26th? It's a Friday. We definitely 2 weeks Friday.
I'm in the building.
Where's it at?
It's usually at Cielo, but this one's going to be somewhere else because it's going to be the Def Jam Grammy party.
Oh, word? Right.
They bought us out and was like, could y'all do the Grammy party? So
you damn Skippy. But a couple more questions. Were you and Pac cool?
Yeah, we were all right.
You were pretty cool?
He was all right.
So you met him early, huh? Like real early?
Way early.
Like Holly, if you hear me early or before that?
Like way early. Like Digital Underground early.
Oh, okay. That's what's up. Like, it's just interesting to see like different people's views on Pac, because I feel like everyone has a different view. And I feel like that's what makes Tupac so legendary, because there were so many different sides of him. Like, everybody, like, from the things that I've seen and read, like, people say he changed after Juice and he changed after he got the death row and stuff like that. But like,
let me ask a question. Mm-hmm. And you live in the projects.
Okay. Right?
Let's just say you live in the projects and somebody dumps $1 million on you. You stay?
Hell no.
Did you change?
Yep. No.
Of course you did.
I mean, I feel like the person inside of you don't change. Like, you're still a kid from the projects on the inside, but like,
are you if you don't live in the projects anymore and then things got different for you?
Yeah, everything changes when you get money.
Everything changes, period. Yeah. Every day you change.
Yeah.
Mm. Think about this. Does it make sense to categorically be the guy who doesn't want to leave the hood?
Yeah.
No, you know why they call the hood the trap? Because it's a fucking trap. You have to get out of the... Right?
Yeah, for right. Sure.
Exactly.
So how are you changing? By trying to better yourself. Is it cool to stay the same and just be a failure? Or not be trying to advance yourself?
Yeah. I posted a video on my IG a while ago. It was actually of Hov. He was saying something, basically what you're saying. He was just like, you think I did all this shit to stay the same?
Yeah. Right. Like, what would be the point of going so hard and trying to, like, just because I live in Brooklyn don't mean I live in Brooklyn the same way.
Right. Of course.
And I'm not the same young, ignorant, wild boy from Brooklyn I was when I was a kid.
Right.
You should learn. Shit should change.
Right.
Every day that you wake up is a brand new way to change the world. If you're not trying, you're bugging. So I don't understand. Right. If you get up one morning and every morning you step off on your right foot, the day you step off on your left, shit is going to be different.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Every single move you make changes the next move. So what do you want me to do?
Yeah.
You should change, and everybody should change. They should change for the better, though.
Right.
The problem is when you change for the same, you're a fool.
Mm-hmm. For sure. You fellas got any more questions, man? No, Clark, gotta get up out of here. Got anything?
I mean, I could sit here and listen to him talk about
it. I know that. If you have a question, ask it.
Oh, I got plenty.
I want to ask you from I guess DJ to DJ.
Mm-hmm.
What's the most pivotal moment in your DJ career where you knew that you didn't have to work a regular job no more? Like, this one thing changed it all for you to where you knew I could DJ.
I played
for the rest of my life.
I played with Grandmaster Flowers in a park for 2 hours. Mm-hmm. And I went home and said, I'm going to be a DJ for the rest of my life. And whether I knew it was going to make money or not, I never changed the thought. That's it. That's what I'm going to do. Right. I'm going to do that. And I never let anybody make me believe that I couldn't do what I love to take care of myself.
For sure. If you don't believe it, then won't nobody believe
right.
it.
Right. No one.
For sure.
No, I appreciate that answer, man. For real.
I know that's inspiring to DJ Mike Nasty.
What you got, bro?
Yeah, so Enchantment. Enchantment. Name of the song. And the name of the song, Silly Love Songs.
Yep.
And you sampled that mm-hmm. when you made
Super High.
Yeah,
I recommend something to you.
Which is one of my favorite. I'm a huge Ross fan. Mm-hmm. Like when people talk about Ross, like I put him up there. I just connect with Ross.
What's the question?
What were you feeling when you decided to sample that? Like
what I was feeling. It's just what came from it.
Uh huh. Really?
That's what came from it. You know.
That's amazing. That's one of my favorite Ross.
So you just like put that record on and just was like, I'm just gonna flip this.
Yeah, things get flipped, and then what really the most important thing was once it was done, I knew exactly who to call. I made one call.
Straight. Rosé.
Yeah, I was like, this for Ross, and then got yelled at later.
What?
Yeah, Hov was like, why didn't you get that to me?
I believe it.
Right. But yeah, man, just want to say, man, I really appreciate you stopping through.
Hold on for a second. You got another?
I mean, I could sit here and ask questions all day, honestly.
Do you have one more?
I do have one
give
more.
Ahead, go
I know you're big in the sneaker game, and yeah. I'm in the resale game in terms of like mm-hmm. what I do
right.
for my own company. How do you feel about the resale market and how it's kind of changed the industries for not just clothing but sneakers?
That's well, it's not for me.
It's not for you?
Nah, because I'm a guy who wants to wear the shoes.
Mm-hmm.
So when a guy walks in the store and he's a size 7 and he buys all the 13s.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
That pisses me off.
Just so that he can, you know, mm-hmm. make a couple extra dollars on the side. And I understand the entrepreneurship of it.
Yeah.
But if you're taking it away from the guy who actually wants to wear it.
Right.
You know.
Right.
Go ahead. You got one more.
Man.
He ain't got none.
I do, but I don't want to. I know we on the time crunch.
Go ahead. You got one more.
All right.
Get it out.
As a producer, what do you feel like is the best way about going to get that first placement, that first one? Because I told myself that's my personal goal for this year, to get my first.
I think most importantly, you need to know what you want to hear on the record.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Most people who make a beat, they're just like, man, I want to sell it. Instead of thinking, this is the way the song needs to be. Mm-hmm. If you know the way the song needs to be, you're going to get it to the person who it needs to be on. So you have to be sure of what you want to hear. Like I said, Super High went to Ross because it was supposed to be for Ross. That's the difference between making a beat and producing, knowing what the song is supposed to be and making the song come to fruition. You got one more.
For sure. I think I got all my questions out, man. Honestly, I think I asked a lot of questions.
Yeah. Okay.
For sure.
I was trying to. No, I'm trying to facilitate.
Nah, for sure,
I want you to walk away and feel like you got the
yeah, for sure.
You got a good interview.
I definitely do.
Yeah, this is motivational.
Yeah, for sure. I really appreciate you stopping through, man.
It's all good.
It really means a lot, man. You definitely an icon and a legend in this game.
I don't know, man.
Most definitely.
I'm just trying to always do good stuff. Like do dope shit. Like that's really my shit, is to just do dope shit.
Yeah.
You make a sneaker, make it dope. You make a beat, make it dope. You make a record, make it dope. You find an MC, make sure he's dope. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Like, yeah, man, just do dope shit.
Yeah, man.
You know what I'm saying?
With that said, man, we trying to make this podcast as dope as possible, sure.
I hope this can help.
Yeah, for sure. I really like it. Again, man, I really appreciate you coming through and fucking with us, man. We just some kids from Tennessee up here in New York trying to make waves in the culture for real. So, with that said, man, like That was DJ Clark Kent, man. We really appreciate him coming through.
Nah, it wasn't DJ Clark. That is DJ Clark.
Hell yeah, it is DJ Clark Kent. He's not going nowhere.
God's don't knock me off.
DJ. God's favorite DJs in the building.
That's a fact.
Get it right. And we're going to leave out, man. We talked about the song. Let's play it. Sky's the Limit, man. Let's go. Appreciate y'all coming through.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. How's everybody doing tonight? I'd like to welcome to the stage the lyrically acclaimed. I like this young man because when he came out with the phrase, he went from ashy to classy. I like that. So everybody in the house, give a warm round of applause for the Notorious B.I.G. The Notorious B.I.G., ladies and gentlemen. Give it up for him, y'all. A nigga never been as broke as me. I like that. When I was young, I had 2 pair of leaves. Besides that, the pinstripes and the gray. The one I wore on Mondays and Wednesdays. My niggas flirt, I'm throwing tigers on my shirt and alligators. You wanna see the inside? I see you later. Here come the drama. Oh, that's that nigga with the fake. Wow! Why you punch me in my face? Stay in your place. Play your position. Here come my intuition. Go in this nigga pocket. Rob him while his friends watching. That hoes clocking. Here comes respect. This crew's your crew, or they might be next. Look at they man eye, big man, they never try. So we roll with them, stole with them, I mean loyalty. Niggas bought me milks at lunch, the milks with chocolate, the cookies, butter crunch. 88, Oshkosh and blue and white dust, ask
Sly. Sky is the limit, they know that you keep on, just keep on pressing on. Sky is the limit, they know that you can have what you want.
My crew was lame. I had enough heart for most of them. Long as I got stuff for most of them. Soft. Even when I was wrong, I got my point across. They depicted me the boss. Of course, my orange box cutter make the world go round. Plus, I'm fucking bitches ain't my homegirls now. Start stacking. Dabbled in crack, gun packing. Nicknamed Medina, made the scene, took my Nina. From gym class to in glass, passed off for global. The only nigga with a mobile. Can't you see like total? Getting larger and wasted taste. Ain't no telling where this melon is heading. Just in case, keep a shell at the tip of your melon. Clear the space. Your brain was a terrible thing to waste. 88 on gates, snatch initial nameplates. Smoking splits with niggas. Real life begin to kill us. Praying God forgive us for being sinners. Help us out. Enterprise, and I ain't have to be in school by 10. I then began to encounter with my counterpart to how to burn the block apart. Break it down into sections. Drugs by these selections. Some use pipes, others use injections. Syringe sold separately. Frank the deputy. Took the damn my Smith and Wesson like my dick was missing. Should protect my position, my corner, my layer. While we out here, say the hustler's prayer. If the game shakes me or breaks me, I hope it makes me a better man. Take a better stand, put money in my mom's hand. Get my daughter this college grant, so she don't need no man. Stay far from timid, only make moves when your heart's in it. And live the phrase, sky's the limit. Motherfucker, I'm Trump's on top. Yeah.
Sky is the limit, and you know that you keep on, just keep on pressing on. Sky is the limit, and you know that you can have what you want.
Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net.